We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
There's not 32 guys better than me.
I'm not sure.
I'm not 32.
Bring Cam Newton back. Bring Cam Newton back.
Dale Arnold.
1 year deal. Would you go back?
Yes. Hell yes.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Oh yeah.
Rich Keefe.
This whole narrative of, you know, LeBron needs more rest, or I should take more rest, or I should take time here, has become a lot bigger than what it actually really is.
If LeBron James tell us a duck could pull a truck, guess what we better do? We better hook the son of a gun up.
Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart.
It's hard to envision, but a lot of stuff has been hard to envision.
He's a fourth-round draft pick. What does that tell you? It tells you that he's a fourth-round draft pick.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Finally, the listeners have gotten what they've wanted. It's the Andy Hart Show, middays, WEEI.
Nobody wants the Andy Hart Show.
Where the hell did you come from?
My restroom upstairs.
Oh, you had a potty break?
I did.
Do you have IBS? Spastic colon?
No, I'm good, thanks. I appreciate it, though.
Oh. Do you know what a spastic colon is, Dale?
I'm assuming it's you. I don't know.
It's the human version of Rich's internet.
No, it really is IBS, though. I didn't know that. I've been having, like, you ever get the little spasm below your eye? Like, just have a day where randomly it's just flickering?
Yeah.
Let's just say that's been happening in a different region of my body lately.
Oh.
And so I Googled the term spastic colon.
Oh, no.
And it's just IBS, so I don't think I have a spastic colon. I don't know what I do have, but just that little ching, 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 ching.
Oh, Lord.
See what happens at the Andy Hart Show?
I'm not entirely sure.
We're already
sure.
off the air.
I definitely don't know what you're talking about, but I'll say yes just to get you to move on from it.
Okay, we can move on.
So,
Rich died?
Yeah. Yesterday, it happened at 1 yesterday where all of a sudden Rich just disappeared and literally was gone for the whole last hour of the program. Are we losing him for the whole last 2 hours of the program today?
I don't know. We have 10 minutes till Trend, though, so we can draw straws to see who has to do it if he's not back in time.
We'll figure it out.
I think we drove him away, Dale. You and I have become a little more open or resigned. I'm not sure what the word is exactly, to some of the lesser options or even some portion of status quo
resigned
with the quarterback.
Resigned is the right word.
Resigned's probably a better word, and he is not. So I think he just gave up the fight and said, you know what? I can't fight those guys. They're too powerful. I'm moving on.
I know this is a depressing notion for Patriots fans out there who go into this offseason saying, Bill's got $60 million to play with. Go out there and get Allen Robinson. Go out and get Hunter Henry. Go out and get Chris Godwin. He's not getting any of them.
Well, we talked about that early on in this process, that I thought fans were setting their sights and their hopes and the bar a little too high with some of those aspirations.
None of those people are going to be here.
Probably not. And probably not any of the quarterbacks that some people talked themselves in. Even Jimmy. Don't you feel like Jimmy's a long shot at this point? And I think some people fell in love with Matthew Stafford was available, and then you find out they only gave a 2. And, you know, all these, we've talked about it a million times, musical chairs, quarterback carousel, right? Oh, there's so many opportunities. You're going to find a quarterback. You can turn this around quickly. And then you hear guys like Tannenbaum who are feeding the frenzy of Patriots fans that are like, wow, yeah, they can turn this around quick. They can be, you know, competitors again. The reality is you don't have a quarterback, and you have a litany of holes. I'm not saying you can't turn it around, but the thing in my head that I keep going back to, 2000 to 2001. Bill was aggressive. He brought in a crap load of players. Not high-end.
Fans didn't know.
Right, but they grew to know.
Yes.
They grew to know and love. When you bring in a Mike Vrabel and a Roman Pfeiffer and some of these guys, and then they become part of the core of your team, that turned things around quickly. The difference, I would argue, is I don't know that there's as good a core here right now of some of that foundational Hall of Fame, Ty Law, Lawyer Malloy, Troy Brown, proven playmaker talent, but that I think that would be aggressive. You want to get back into aggressive in what we're talking about? Sign 10 guys. Sign 10 guys that you think could play a realistic rotational role or better for your team. That's better, right? That adds a lot of bodies to the mix. I don't think it'll excite people. I think people set their standards way too high in February.
I said before that the only way that I would want Cam Newton back on this roster is if you get a quarterback in the first round who is your quarterback for the future. He may not be ready for the first 3-4 weeks. Cam, you're going to be starting to start the season, and then when player exit, when Trey Lance is ready,
yep.
This is his job, this is his team, and I don't know how Cam would respond to that, by the way, but that's the only way I want him back.
Does that – I think it could make sense with a guy like Trey Lance because, A, he's raw. He, you know, one game this year, only one game at a lower level. I mean, only one season at a lower level last year. Has running ability, has freakish physical talents. Does that make sense with Mac Jones? Like, is Mac Jones – should he be learning from Cam Newton? Like, is he going to pick up a read option? Oh, I see what you did there. Mac Jones is more of a – you know, people are trying to compare him to Brady. He's got it, and, you know, he's been looked over, and he's not the fastest or the strongest.
Even Charlie Weiss isn't using Brady. As much as he loves Mac Jones, he's using Drew Brees.
Right, but is that Cam Newton? Like, is Mac Jones real? And I know it doesn't have to be apple-to-apple comparison. The guy ahead of you has to be exactly like you. I just don't know what Mac Jones gets out of necessarily a year behind or a half a season behind Cam Newton. I think he can't do a lot of the things Cam Newton does and doesn't want to do a lot of the things Cam Newton does.
All right, let's get back to the call. 617-779-7937. It might be hard to do Kiefer Madness if we don't have Kiefer with us at the bottom
of the
hour.
It's such a good one, too. We have to do it.
Well, we'll see.
Heart Madness.
Heart Madness. Yeah, heart attacks.
There we go. Nick's in Salem. Hey, Nick, how you doing?
Pretty good. So I just wanted your take. So it was obvious that Cam Newton couldn't throw the ball. Interview about being gone for COVID, he was talking about being in his head too much to where, like, there's a video that circulates all the time about Luke Kuechly calling out a play, and he's able to dissect the other team, not worrying about himself. Yep. Taking that into account, if it gives him a whole nother year, don't you think that's where his game could prosper?
If you thought it was only a head issue for Cam Newton, then yes. If you thought it was only a COVID fog, you know, that has cleared, light has dawned over Marblehead type of thing, then yeah. I saw a guy whose arm looked cooked a couple of times, end of halves and stuff, when he was trying to throw the Hail Mary to the end zone, and he couldn't get it there.
No, he could not.
And if it was only a head thing, you know, the offense is too complicated. I'm behind in terminology. I don't know where everybody's supposed to be going. If that was it, yeah, I don't think that's it.
Okay, let me take my Cam Newton sales job even further. Is there anything to the fact that maybe he was learning how to throw with whatever he has left, whatever that little water pistol is that he has left? Maybe he was learning to throw last year. Is it possible he'll have a better knowledge of how he throws?
That's possible. I don't think it's probable, but it's possible, sure.
Right. You know, I mean, Pedro learns to pitch at 92 instead of 97.
Yeah, it's not the same, though.
I'm quarterback, just trying.
Change your delivery at the age of 33 or whatever he is
but
now.
But Chad Pennington is the guy that I always bring up. Chad Pennington had to learn multiple times in his career that I got to get rid of it quicker. I got to throw to a spot. I don't have the arm anymore. You learn to play in a different way. Maybe Cam could do that. And he mentioned the Kuechly, and I know exactly what he's talking about. There's also a famous Cam video out there where he's playing offense and somebody, I forgot who the linebacker is, calls out, oh, it's going to be a wheel route. Watch the wheel route. Yeah. And Cam goes, yeah, watch this. And McCaffrey actually breaks to the inside and gets an easy touchdown. I don't think Cam could have done that last year for the Patriots. I think he would have freaked out if somebody's yelling the play out. Like, I don't think he would have had the fallback confidence and comfort to be that cool and collected in that situation. Maybe he would be next year.
617-779-7937. Steve's in Waltham. Hey, Steve.
How you doing, guys? Andy, I can't wait for you to come on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and I mean that honestly.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
I think you're very good at what you do.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it.
But
my question to you is, though, But my question is to you, though. If you had if you had to pick a backup quarterback and a starting quarterback from who's ever out there that is going to be available, which two would you pick? Because they honestly trust what you think.
It's hard for me because, like, in a best case scenario,
like legitimately available. Not, well, I want Russell Wilson or I want
Deshaun eliminate
Watson.
Russell Wilson, eliminate Deshaun Watson, and am I eliminating Zach Wilson? Am I eliminating the top of the draft, or are those guys in play?
No, I'm just asking for your opinion as to who you feel would be the best fit for a backup and a starter.
Well, my dream would be Zach Wilson backed up by Jarrett Stidham and Cam Newton. That would be my battle going into training camp. That would be my dream. I don't think there's a shot in Hades of that happening, so unfortunately that dream will never come true. And I don't love a lot of the guys on the open market. If it were pure open market, I think I would take Jimmy Garoppolo. Just figure out Jimmy Garoppolo, bring Jimmy in, and I'd still have to have a backup because we all know Jimmy's history that he doesn't play all the time. But he's not available. Like, those two options, now, Dale, what's the word? Resignation. Resigned to, I can't get X, Y, and Z. Keith's back on my screen, but he just froze and looks so drunk.
I'm so mad. I'm so mad.
What is going on at your house?
I have no idea. It's perfectly clear day. I don't know. I have some phone calls I'll have to make after the show.
Does your phone work?
So
probably not.
So we answered the question of the caller, but we'll ask you your dream realistic scenario at quarterback for the Patriots.
Yeah, because I liked Carson Wentz and Matthew Stafford, and now those guys are not available. I think it might be down to Jameis Winston or Sam Darnold. I think it would probably be one of those two guys would be the dream scenario. Darnold, I know the chances of the Jets making a deal straight up with you seems kind of unlikely, but I would take the lottery ticket in Sam Darnold. Could he be the next, literally the next Ryan Tannehill, a guy who was maybe ruined or at least his growth was stunted by Adam Gase, and then he's a much better player for the future. And then Jameis Winston, sort of the opposite of Cam Newton in the sense that he's all arm. Guy's got a big arm. Maybe he's not the smartest quarterback in the world, but he can make all of the throws. I think I would like to see what that looks like. Let Josh McDaniels kind of worry about the picks and some of the decision-making and have him just throw it all over the place.
How much better do you think he'd be, or would we be a year from now just saying, like we mock Cam, he can't throw the football. A year from now would be, he's colorblind. He throws to the wrong team. Like, would that be the same thing?
Yeah, maybe, but I feel like the games would be higher scoring. Like
Is that our objective here?
I don't know if Bill would like that, but I think it'd be more fun to watch, that's for sure.
Okay. I'm not sure that's the objective. I think the objective from Bill's perspective is to win.
But it is score points. And
it's to not turn the ball over. You ever asked him about things that matter? Turnovers pretty high on the list.
Turnovers absolutely matter, but as you've pointed out before, and I know it's apples to oranges, but Alabama changed how they do things.
Yep.
And I think you're looking at the AFC. The Buffalo Bills, all of a sudden, are going to be a team that scores a lot of points. We know the Chiefs are going to score a lot of points. The Browns, I think, are going to be capable of scoring points. So if you want to compete in the AFC, it's going to be tough to win games 17-14.
Yeah, I hate that idea. Fitzy's idea? Let's run the ball and play defense.
No.
I don't think that works.
No. 1984.
No, unless you're literally the best at both. Like the Niners were, and even then you lost because your quarterback couldn't make a throw.
And how did the Niners get good on defense? They, like, drafted a first-round defensive front player forever, right? Like, how are you suddenly going to get great on defense? Yeah. Great enough to not even be great, but to go counter to the trends of the day, like be historically great. I just don't find that as a believable option.
My dream quarterback scenario for the Patriots, and I don't know how realistic it is, but it's not as unrealistic as Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson. I think you get no chance of those. My dream is that you somehow are willing to move up far enough to get one of the top three quarterbacks. Trevor Lawrence is gone. Either Justin Fields or Zach Wilson, that's my scenario. Yep, one of those two guys. Now I think you've got your I don't want to say next Tom Brady. There's not going to be another one of those. But your next franchise quarterback is set for the next 10 years, 15 years, whatever it is. If you could somehow move up far enough to get one of those two guys, that's my dream.
I love that idea. And, Rich, you have to love that. That's right up your alley of Antonio Brown, Josh Gordon, like excited, like puppet 100%. GIF. Like, you got a jersey to sell in the pro shop. The only problem is history would tell us, you know, you go back to the 16, 17, like, There's no guarantee it's 10 years, Dale. It might be 3 or 4, and you could
be offloading
that guy in a couple of years. But for excitement and just feeling, I keep bringing up Justin Herbert. The Chargers were not a good football team. But if you're a Chargers fan, you feel really good, right? Your future is bright. You have a quarterback, and I know they have also talent all across the rest of the team as well, but you don't have to be winning to be hopeful and to feel good. Right now, the Patriots aren't winning. They also aren't hopeful. There's not a lot to feel good about or to project in a couple years. This is the reason why you're going to be good. So at least the trade up would give you hope.
And I think it also allows you to use your salary cap money in free agency or even in trades, you know, take on a bigger contract if you want to and not sink it all into a quarterback, because I don't think next year there's like two moves to make and they're a Super Bowl contender. But if you're developing your quarterback but also surrounding him, and not just like receivers and tight ends, but improving the defense with all that money that you have, that's the best case scenario, because that is a cheap quarterback but with a tremendous amount of upside, rather than the Cam Newton or Ryan Fitzpatrick was the last guy standing cheap quarterback, but they're not going to be on your team next year. They might not even be the guy week 10, you know, that you might want to be making a change at that point. So the rookie quarterback checks all the boxes.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll get right back to the calls with you in just a couple of minutes. We are so happy that Keefe is back, because otherwise we'd have to call it something other than Kiefer Madness. Because
let's
it's
not count
up
our
next.
Chickens. Let's just
heart attack madness.
Point. Could be a couple of minutes away. It's Dale and Keefe with Hart, and it's time to trend.
The Greg Hill Show, morning 6 to 10. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending Now is brought to you by the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Celebrate your favorite presidents this President's Day with some free money from FindMassMoney.com. You may have some Washingtons, Jacksons, or Benjamins. Go to FindMassMoney.com and enter your name and see if there are any presidents waiting for you. Celtics visit the Dallas Mavericks tonight. Marcus Smart remains out. Tip-off at 7:30. The NBA will announce their All-Star reserves tonight. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are both likely to be selected. Today, the first day, NFL teams can use the franchise tag, and they have until March 9th. And the Bruins are off until Thursday when they face the Islanders. I'm Rich Keefe. Kiefer Madness is next. That's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Dale and Keefe.
Middays 10 to 2.
On WEEI.
The beginning of madness.
Kiefer madness.
Kiefer madness.
This is madness.
Richard Keefe, I think it is. Rich Keefe.
Who is that?
Keefe, kiss my ass. How's that sound? Oh,
Keefe's a nice guy.
What now?
I got really into home brewing. I got a home brewing kit. Pretty time consuming.
Who's door, Keith?
Where's Keith?
Where is he?
Where's Keith?
Where is Keith?
Hey, Keith, you're a douche.
This is madness.
I'm going to suggest it might include poop.
Yo, Keith of madness is so hit or miss.
You're only giving a little spark of madness.
Keith, thanks. You maybe jackass.
Give Keith for madness?
But you know damn well, there'll be a handful of geeks who never be.
Find that big boy.
Hey, Rich. This is Dad. Just checking, did you hear that? They signed Antonio Brown? Holy shit. Talk to you. Bye.
Yeah, it's a Tuesday at noon 30.
Be careful where you leave voice messages. I'm just saying, they could show up anywhere.
Course, my dad's reaction to the Antonio Brown signing from a year ago. I think it was a pretty sound response. I think that's how most people felt at the time.
Was there a follow-up voice message like 11 days later? He said, "You hear they cut Antonio Brown? Holy,
holy bleep!" Yeah, you could play the exact same thing. Let's go out to Arizona for this story. We know that there are definitely people who want to get out of work and maybe find a unique, creative way to avoid having to go to work.
I think their internet goes down in the middle of work.
For example, your internet doesn't stay connected for more than an hour. Let's use that as an example. This guy went in a slightly different direction.
All right, let's get to tonight's big talker. We've all had those days where you don't want to go to work at all, but have you ever seriously considered faking your own kidnapping?
Yeah, just a bizarre story tonight out of...
Is that a rhetorical question? I have not personally thought of faking my own kidnapping to avoid work. Of course, I'm the wrong person to ask, or we are. We all like our jobs. There are a lot of people who hate their jobs, but to kidnap yourself...
It's got to be a fairly elaborate scheme, doesn't it?
I think. Sure was, Dale.
Well, to work anyway. I mean, you could have a bad scheme. Might be you're probably fired within a day.
Yeah. Well,
good scheme. You keep your job.
Maybe a spoiler alert there of how it ended for this guy. All right, let's continue.
Coolidge involving an elaborate plot, a police investigation, and now a confession. ABC 15's Ashley Paredes in Coolidge tonight, walking us through the entire thing.
A person was driving down this dirt road. They looked on the ground and found a man with his hands bound and a bandana in his mouth. Although frightening, it is not what it seems.
It's just a classic man bound and gagged on the side of the road.
I'm trying to go through the logistics. I try to think of these things.
Yeah.
Stuffing the bandana in your mouth, I could accomplish.
Yeah.
Tying my hands behind my back would be a little tough to pull off, wouldn't you?
That'd be really tough.
Rope or zip ties?
Belt.
Zip ties you could do.
The belt.
Oh, a belt. Oh,
he ended up doing it with a belt.
Your mouth, maybe? You pull it tight somehow with your mouth, I'm thinking. I would have gone zip ties. I think zip ties would be easiest to pull off.
I feel like laying on the side of the road, though, is a pretty dangerous thing to do. This could backfire really quick. Somebody doesn't see you, they're like, they take their eyes off the road, just drive over your head. Like, this is not a smart plan.
A side note here. Have you watched I Care a Lot on Netflix yet?
Of course, starring Gary Tengway.
Well, speaking of laying on the side of the road, here's Tyrion Lannister, bollocksy bare-ass, laying on the side of the road.
Yep, it's new. This guy, though, did not go. He was still clothed while he was kidnapped, but on the side of the road. Okay.
This is how 19-year-old Brandon Soles was found February 10th, roughed up and helpless, telling Coolidge police he was kidnapped, when in actuality, he did this to himself.
So he was roughed up.
Do you bang your face into the wall?
I think you have to smack yourself in the face, maybe punch yourself, roll around the dirt a little
bit.
Scratches. Yeah.
Looked like you were on your neck.
But you were kidnapped, but then you were also just dumped on the side of the road, apparently. I guess that's the next level of his plan.
They found you annoying. They kidnapped you and then realized quickly you're annoying.
Yeah, he's got
you can't hold you for ransom. You're not worth anything. You're not helping.
You checked
us
his wallet. There's nothing.
You're not at work. You're not making money. Yeah, so what the hell are you going to do for me?
I mean, I don't know. I don't really know. Who gets kidnapped and then just like dumped on the side? It doesn't seem to happen all that much. But this guy, this was his plan anyway. So
he informed us that he at first stuffed a bandana in his mouth and afterwards
he took off his own belt and bound his hands with his own belt and scooted out, laid on the ground and scooted out near the side of the road where somebody could see him.
Yeah. What? Did I just land there?
They did say his hands were behind his back, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They show the photo of him laying on the ground. He looks like somebody who would have been tied up, you know, and then tossed on the ground. Like, he did a weird
job.
I can't
imagine it's like that tight if you do it yourself, right?
Yeah, no, they zoomed in on the hands. It looked like you'd get out of that at any moment.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which
but there
might
was something.
Tipped
there was
off
a
the
belt.
Police that maybe there's something wrong here.
Well, maybe he feared for his life. You don't want to, like, if you're breaking out, the kidnappers could shoot you or something. So you just kind of play along. Now, how far did he squirm? I'm confused. Did he squirm from his car or his residence?
So that's what's confusing because I don't think the car was parked nearby, but he was on the side of the road. So he was just hoping for the next person to drive by to find him and report it to the police.
Okay.
But then he didn't really stick with his story for too long. So yeah, go ahead.
And waited.
And his plan worked, or at least he thought it would.
He informed us that he was hit in the head and stuffed in a car in front of his home. And this occurred a little after 7 o'clock in the morning. But when we located video surveillance of in front of his home, we were able to see no such thing.
Brandon explaining.
That didn't happen. So
no.
You're very specific.
Cameras?
Yeah, you got to know. You got to know if there's surveillance near your house. You have to know that.
Almost any, you know, Barney Fife from Mayberry could break this case in about a minute and a half, right?
Yeah. Like, all right, let's go check the tape, see what car has. What's that? No cars? Nobody came by? Nobody stuffed in a trunk at 7 o'clock? You sure you said 7 a.m.? He's like, maybe it was earlier.
Like, are you questioning? Okay, I understand you hate your job. You don't want to go to work.
Correct.
But this scheme does not involve you, like, playing video games and drinking beer all day. It involves you bound on the side of the road, then picked up by the cops. You had to know you're going to spend some time with the cops, telling your story. Maybe they send you to the hospital to make sure you're medically okay. You just lost the day anyway. You might as well go to work and collect a paycheck.
Correct. And now you're just going to go back to work. Like, they're going once you're healthy enough, they're going to be like, all right, now you can go back to your job.
This was a terrible scheme from the very beginning.
Horrible plan. Horrible plan.
Brandon explaining the so-called kidnapping was over a large amount of money that his father had hid somewhere around town. That elaborate story all made up.
Oh, well.
Yeah, my dad hid money around town. Okay.
So they kidnapped me, threw me in the trunk, and drove me around. I didn't know where we were, but I said, stop here!
Yeah, this feels right. Let me go out and dig. Like, no, what? Where's this money you speak of? This guy has no idea. Terrible plan.
This guy's a moron.
Yes. And if you're going to say that, you have to be... He thought he was being specific, but the problem is when you're too specific like that, they can easily poke holes in it. Be like, all right, none of this happened.
See... There's a fine line, isn't there? Like, you got to have enough details so that it's believable.
Yes. Right.
But if you get too many details, it's that whole thing about, you know, if you tell the truth, it's always easy because you can keep repeating the story.
Yeah.
But if you lie a whole bunch, it's like, did I say that they hit me in the face first? Or
did I mean my own house?
Or how about, like, the lack of, I don't know about you guys, but if I ever had any doubts about cameras being everywhere, the Aaron Hernandez situation cleared that up when they had him everywhere from like Boston to his home, the type of gum he bought at this store. Yes. Like, you learned, my God, there really are cameras everywhere. And if they want to, they can piece it all together.
I assume that now, just in general.
Yes. 100%.
Everywhere you go in life, someone somewhere can get you on a camera.
Especially with these rings, like the Morgan Wallen thing. Like, everybody's got the rings and the lights that all the doorbells, you know, there's cameras everywhere. And if they need to or want to, they have them. You're toast. Terrible.
Oh, yeah.
This guy's a moron.
No,
you know,
not a great
Cam moment. Said that Bill Belichick's favorite word, they were joking, like he loves to call everybody morons. Bill would have a field day with this guy.
Along with a slew of text message evidence he claimed to have.
Coos Police Department detectives brought him in on the 17th of February, and we questioned him. After we showed him all the information, he admitted that he fabricated the story because he didn't want to go to work.
You got me. You know what?
Okay, all right.
I'd give it a shot. You got me.
I probably won't have to go to work tomorrow either, will I?
No. You're going to find out he will not have to go to work, at least at work, ever again.
Something Brandon won't have to worry about anymore. Police saying he was fired from his job at the tire factory in Coolidge. Instead, he had to report to jail, where he was charged with reporting false information. And already, we're told, pleading guilty to the crime.
Well, I'm thinking if you're this guy, it's like, have you been to the tire factory? I'd rather be in jail, thank you.
I'm good. I'll go he didn't really, he gave, like, he presented his case. They were like, nope. And he was like, you got me. Like,
yeah, he didn't put up a fight. Nope.
There's nothing there. Like, well, actually, what do you mean you don't believe me? Like, call my dad or do this, this, this. Like, yeah.
There was no grilling under bright lights or anything. Yeah. It was
no, not necessary. Yep.
How do you plead? Super guilty.
Well, he was also, he was hoping to be out of there by like noon so he could go play video games and enjoy his day off. This was all about a day off.
Didn't work.
It was very important that we put out that media release to let people know that our community is still safe and there is not two masked men running about kidnapping people.
On top of the fear, it was also a waste of resources. Police, fire, EMS, as well as the hospital that treated his self-inflicted wounds. Ashley Paredes, ABC 15, Arizona.
Unreal. Well, at least it was warm. It was Arizona, at least.
Yeah. They had that going for them.
It feels like all of these kidnapping cases sort of go the same way when somebody tries to kidnap themselves. There's absolutely no planning involved. They show up, and they immediately know that they kidnapped themselves. Remember, Andy, the Buffalo Super Bowl squares kidnapper? Yep. This guy basically built up all this wealth over the years from doing Super Bowl squares at the work, and he was like this grandfather figure. Everyone trusted him. One year, all the numbers hit that basically drained the guy of all the money, but he already spent all the money. So he kidnapped himself, and they showed up in his own vehicle. And when the cops found him, he's like, yeah, I've been here for 2 days. Like, they kidnapped me because I owed him money or something. And the guy, they were like, well, did you not use the bathroom in 2 days? Right. Like, he was wearing clean clothes and everything.
Like, freshly shaven. Yeah. His underwear was clean. And they're like, wait, how long you been here? Yeah, it's terrible. Kidnapping, not the way to go. Not the way to go at all.
No, no, no.
I think I'd go fake death first.
Yes.
Yeah, fake your death.
Huck Finn it. Go to your own funeral.
You got to gone girl it though. You got to really know a lot about these topics before
gotta
you
be a
do it to
dive.
Yourself.
Yeah, you can't just
But you can't research it, right? Because if you research it, now they
get
your computer record.
On your phone.
Google how to fake own death. Can't do that
and get away with it.
Right.
Oh, I forgot that part of the Google search. Damn
That's
it.
On
me. Well, nice story. I like that one.
Yep.
Nope. 617.
What do you think his future is?
None.
I mean, he failed at the tire. He's not wanted at the tire factory,
no,
Dale.
They don't want him. No,
what's below the tire factory now for this guy? And what's his dad do? Where's the? We need to get from the dad in this because he supposedly has got money.
No, that was a lie.
Does he have a dad?
Well, that,
was
a lie.
Maybe that was the lie too, sir. We looked. You don't have a father.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. It is probably time to consider tagging your favorite Patriot, or is it? Dale and Keefe with a Dale and a frozen Keefe with Mark.
Serial killer Keefe looking right at me.
Sports Radio WEEI.
We've all had those days where you don't want to go to work at all. Have you ever seriously considered faking your own kidnapping?
Because he didn't want to go to work.
Something Brandon won't have to worry about anymore.
Baseball is back. And so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Andy Hart is with Dale and Keefe every Tuesday and Thursday on WEEI.
Something like this. Tag team, back again. Check it, direct it, let's begin. Party on, party people, let me hear some noise. DC's in the house, jump, jump, rejoices as a party.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Today is the opening day of Tag Day. It is the day where you can begin to franchise or transition tag players. There are really only a couple of candidates realistically for the Patriots, and I don't believe either of them will be tagged. One would be Joe Tooney, and it would be so expensive. I think $17 million is the tag number for him because he was tagged last year. Yep. David Andrews, theoretically, I could see it, possibly, but it seems a little steep.
Yeah, I don't think they have a candidate. I don't even think it's really
– those are the only two who are even – You would even consider, and I don't think it's likely in either case. Tooney got $15 million on the tag last season, which shocked most of us.
Yep.
Because he was tagged a year ago, the Patriots would have to pay him $17.7 million this year. to tag him.
Pretty good money. 31 and change over a two-year span for a guard, guaranteed money. Pretty good money if you can get it. I actually wonder if they regret the tag for Tooney for last year, if that was in some way related.
Probably.
I don't, you know what I mean? Like, they could have rolled over that money, too, especially once you see you end up with Michael Onwenu and how he played. Could you have pieced it together?
Could play practically every position except center on the line, apparently.
And then you would tack on, you could have rolled over more money. You could have kept that cap space, rolled it over into this year, and maybe you'd have $70 million available. But yeah, the bigger picture question, they just don't have a lot of candidates. I'm interested in how this whole tag period plays out across the league.
Well, Greg Rosenthal writes a piece on NFL.com about candidates, and he breaks down, you know, the candidates into several categories. No-brainers, debatable candidates, you know, probably not going to happen. And just to give you an idea of who he says are the no-brainers, you tag them. One is Dak Prescott,
yep.
And I happen to think that's going to be true. It'll cost $37.7 million to tag Prescott, 20% raise over what he got a year ago. But it then also gives you time to work on a new deal and get something done. I think he will get tagged. I was surprised that Rosenthal had Allen Robinson and Chris Godwin on this list of no-brainers. Tag them. Get it over with. Do it now.
Yeah, and you know, I think he references in there, or somebody has referenced the possibility of a tag and trade for Allen Robinson, that maybe you don't want to keep him long term, but you got to get something for him. You don't want to just lose him for a compensatory pick next year, because I can't imagine he wants to go back there. If he gets tagged, that could be one of those ugly taggings where the player's not, I don't have a quarterback, I don't want to be here, I want to move on. You cut off my ability to get $70 million, $80 million on the open market. But if they can recoup something in a trade for him, so he gets to go where he wants to, but they get, you know, a second-round pick or the third-round pick immediately now rather than waiting for it as a compensatory pick. But again, it's removing options from the Patriots'
radar. Well, and Greg Rosenthal has three wide receivers on his no-brainer. You tag him. He's got Allen Robinson, Chris Godwin, Kenny Golladay. Well, that immediately would, in those cases, take those three guys off your shopping list. It's like I said before, if you're holding out hope that because Bill's got $63 million in cap space, he's going to go drop $20 million of it a year on a guy like Allen Robinson, I don't think he's going to get the chance.
And also, you don't want him, well, I really wanted Robinson, I can't get him. I really wanted Godwin, I can't get him. I really wanted Gallup, but I'll still just invest in the position because we need a receiver and I have this money burning a hole in my pocket. You don't want that mentality either, even though they do need a receiver and they do have the money sort of burning a hole in their pocket. I keep going back to Bill's comment in the postpartum press conference where he said, like, you know, you think you know who's available now and that guy's not available. And you think, you know, these guys aren't available. You haven't even considered these guys. And then they become available. We've already lived that this offseason, and
yes,
the offseason hasn't started yet. We're in, you know, the end of February and the real offseason starts in March.
So he's got a secondary category, say yes. That's what it's called. Say yes. In other words, he would franchise these guys. They're not the no-brainers that we gave you before, but
yep,
he's got a bunch of guys. I'm more interested in the leaning no category, leaning to not tag them. He's got both Joe Tooney and David Andrews on his leaning no list.
I agree with him.
I do too. He's got Shaquille Griffin. He's got Matt Milano. He's got Curtis Samuel, Jonnu Smith,
yep,
Bud Dupree. So Jonnu Smith is the one he's leaning no, don't franchise him. And if that is actually the case, you brought up his name earlier, that might be an area that I would go shopping.
Yes, I actually like both those guys, the weapons you just talked about. Curtis Samuel, I think, would be another,
yep,
option for the Patriots where, yeah, you're shooting your sights a little lower than you initially had them. But if you get, let's just say, dream scenario, best case scenario, you get both those guys, don't you feel significantly better that you're now,
yes,
fielding a more NFL caliber wide receiving core, pass catching core, and then you got to hope for other things. You got to hope Jacoby Myers is maybe what he was over the second half of the season, and Devin Asiasi steps up and works with Smith to give you a combo. But the other issue is what I talked about earlier. Financially speaking, the money is still in question with the cap. Is it going to land at 180, 183, 185? I saw Albert Breer is talking to teams. They've all used various windows in there and how much money other teams have to spend. And the teams that do have money to spend, if all these top guys, Godwin, whatever, Allen Robinson are off the market, Do they start spending money at a different price bracket that drives up the price of Jonnu Smith or Curtis Samuel because people want, you know, need to fill those options? This is the problem with free agency and the idea that in that Jeff Howe piece, the Patriots are waiting for a market correction at quarterback. Well, you can await your market correction, but I think there's a lot of people trying to buy houses over the last couple of years that have been waiting for the market correction in real estate, right? Hasn't corrected itself yet. They're still waiting to buy a house. They're still living in an apartment or a condo. So if the market says this is what a guy is worth, you can believe that's overpriced all you want, and then you can go home without that guy or without that position.
So there's the dilemma that the Patriots face. We talked about this offseason and how aggressive Bill's going to be, and he may want to be aggressive.
Yep.
Some of these decisions may be out of his hands. You know, you got to find a trade partner for some of these quarterback options. Teams either aren't willing to give you their higher draft pick than you have now, or their quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo, Sam Darnold. All of these things are in flux. And, oh, by the way, we're taking this wide receiver, this wide receiver, this wide receiver off your list because we're going to franchise all three of them. Well, now where are you shopping?
Right. So now there's less, you know, available talent, still some demand for certain teams that need to add to those positions. Does that drive the value up? And you can say you want to be aggressive, but that's like, you know, when you decide you're looking for a car, you see an ad and you go, oh, yeah, I'm ready to buy. And you go, and then you find out it's kind of one of those bait and switch ads that the price you read in the paper is not the price that's really available at the car lot. Well, are you still aggressive? Are you going to pay that price? Are you going home with a car that day, damn it, because you want a car that day? Or now do you take another step back and say, well, I was ready to buy, but the price went up. The price changed before I could, you know, get the actual car and the value I wanted. And that's NFL free agency, and that's the world Bill hasn't really had to live in. You know, getting back to the, is he going to be shooting a little higher and more aggressively than he ever has? Still be good enough. If you fall back to, well, I will be good enough. Well, you weren't good enough last year. And if you take that mentality, you might not be good enough this year.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Ron's up in Maine. Hey, Ron.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing great.
Listen, just a little wrap on the Cam thing. I think it's kind of a no-brainer. I mean, the guy, I'll make a couple notes and then listen to you guys wrap on it. A couple of key factors. I do not personally think that the Kraft family nor Bill Belichick wants to go through another agonizing season with Cam. A couple of notable games. It was obvious we had the game down. Instead, the other team knows that he's going to try to rush for a quarterback. I mean, excuse me, for a touchdown instead of just flea flicking it. He cost us a lot of games this past season. You know, it was very, very agonizing watching that. You know, I really don't think that they want to go down that avenue again. You know, is there some people out there that we could try for? Mariota? Mariota is, believe it or not, I think Mariota, he came in and filled in for Carr on a game. He looked pretty damn good. You know, he was scrambling. He had some good yardage. I'd be willing to take a chance on something that is going to be, you know, some kind of a quarterback that's going to be more open, you know, just with no-brainer plays. I mean, he obviously, you know, wanted to take the whole team on his back. It didn't work. I really do think that Bill Belichick is thinking in a different avenue. Where they go as far as quarterback goes, I'm not sure. But I do know the fan base does not want to go through another season with that on their back. I mean, you know, Tom Brady did give it.
Every time one of the shows on the station, I know Greg Hill's show's done it, we've done it, has placed, you know, one of these quickie Twitter polls about, you know, do you want Cam Newton back? It's like 75% to 80% no.
Right.
It's not like the fans are clamoring. Like if Bill Belichick announced he was cutting Julian Edelman, well, there'd be a backlash. Even if some people think, you know, he's probably cooked at this point of his career. Who knows what he's got left in the tank? But damn it, I like this guy. He's been here for a long time. He's helped us win championships. You can't let him go. I think there'd be a lot more backlash about that than there'd be any backlash if they just say, look, we're moving on from Cam.
Yeah, no. And as the year wore on, I think the potential for backlash shrunk. I think there were people that, you know, the Wiggies that were really all in early, and then groups that still were kind of all in, and then as it went on, and you saw more bad performances, more ugly throws, more just specifics in your mind of a lack of ability to throw the football at an NFL level. I think even people that liked him, like we all said it, he does everything at a level you like it, except for that three-hour window on Sundays, right? Like, the rest of the job, he nails it. Greg Hill, leadership, working with Bill, taking the cussing, everything. He just can't throw the ball for those three hours. And
they pull a dirty trick on him when they kick the football off.
Right. And the craft aspect of this, and no, first of all, nobody wants to go through these seasons at all. One of them, two of them, three of them in a row. Nobody wants to. They didn't want to in Cleveland or Buffalo or Jacksonville. No one wanted to. It's can you fix it quickly enough? And the thing I would add in there is I think we all believe there will be fans at games. Well, firstly, before Patriots season, probably at Bruins, Celtics, Red Sox some portion. But then
I think so, yeah.
By Patriots season, maybe a bigger portion. You know, I saw some of the league estimates they're using are hoping for like at least 70% attendance or something like that at games. So there's going to be fans, and you will know immediately when fans aren't happy, right? It's not going to be that empty stadium with the jet noise in the background like you had a year ago. So not only would it be the second year of struggles, you would have instant reaction from fans telling you how upset they are, or worst case scenario, yeah, we're at 70%. We can only fill 50%. We can only fill 60. Nobody wants to go. And they haven't dealt with that in 40 years.
Joe's in Boston. Hey, Joe.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I hear you talking a lot about rebuilding the past, and we should be looking to the future as far as a quarterback. But out of what you're not mentioning is Miami and Buffalo aren't going away. They're only getting better. So it's going to be a lot more than just, you know, rebuilding a team. We're looking for the next, we're looking at the next 2 or 3 years as some dire straits, unless they can get a quarterback that's going to stick around. And that's what I think. What do you think about that?
Well, I think in addition to those two teams, and we mention them all the time, if the Jets go out and spend the number two pick in the draft on either acquiring Deshaun Watson from Houston or acquiring Justin Fields or Zach Wilson, I think they're better too. For one thing, Adam Gase is gone and Robert Saleh's in, who doesn't have head coaching experience. I'm probably giving him more credit than he deserves, but everybody who has had anything to do with this guy thinks he's going to be a greater improvement in the head coaching job than anything they could have hoped for.
Sure, but I'm also not ready to just anoint any of the teams, actually. Forget the Jets, because they still have questions at quarterback and a new head coach. I'm not ready to say the Bills and Josh Allen are just roll out of bed like the Patriots have been forever, and they're going to win 12 games. They're going to win. And Tua down in Miami, some of the comments down there, I'm not ready to say Tua is ready to lead them to double-digit wins every year, and you're like just chasing.
I think you'll see that year two jump for him.
We might. Say, boy, you really, you know, some of those whispers about him not actually winning the job and guys were really not sold that you should have made the change, maybe that blows up in their face. So I'm not willing to concede that you're the third best team in the division for the next 5 years. You need a quarterback. You need to become a better team. But you could also end up where maybe it's the NFC West. And maybe you say, we're back now and we're good. The 49ers are good. The Rams are good. Maybe it's competitive, but I'm not conceding anything to those guys.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. When we come back, there are reports of something Danny Ainge was trying to do with the start of this NBA season, which, if true, doesn't reflect well on him. It's Dale and Keefe with Hart Sports Radio, WEEI.